Father, let all our children hear from you tonight. Let every single one of them hear what they need to hear today, tonight. Take each one of them, Father, for the next step in their walk with you. How awesome you are, God. How awesome you are in this place. How awesome you are by yourself. But how awesome you are in this place. How awesome you are as you work through us. How awesome you show yourself as you pour yourself out through your people, Father. How awesome. God, you fill us with awe and wonder. And I ask, and I know I can have what I ask. I ask that you never stop. I ask that you keep every one of us in awe and wonder. That you increase the awe. That you increase the wonder. That you even have us asking, what am I missing? That I'm not as much in awe as someone else. God, I love you. There are no words. You're so good. You're so gracious. You're so generous. You're so extravagant. And you've placed us in a place where your character is so visible. And I'm so grateful. Woo! Woo! Yay, God! Yay, God! I've got to hold the mic down here. I don't want to break your ears. Yay, God!
Yay, God!
Woo!
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey, don't you challenge me! Hey! All right. Hey. Be careful. Be careful. I'm right on the edge. Be careful. Now I'm going to. Yay, God! The title of this message, What Am I Missing?, was birthed while I was on vacation, and I'm going to tell you the story. Now, I know some of you think I'm missing a few paper clips. Pastor Jim and Pastor Linda took care of that when they got me this great big paper clip so that I will never be short again. I mean missing a paper clip. Don't have anything to do with how tall or short I am. And someone else, Melissa, she gave me this beautiful package of gold paper clips that Pastor Brett, they work. They hold packs of paper. They don't keep my thoughts in line, but they work. And all y'all, when you find a paperclip on the ground, Pastor Donna, I think you lost something. From the oldest of you to right down to Lena. Pastor Donna, did you lose this? Oh, thank you, sweetie. So, and you started that, Bishop. I'm blaming it on you. I just thought of that. It was you. Because it was a remark made in private that you made public. So, I'm not missing any more paper clips. And thank you, Jesus, I have an armor bearer who keeps things in my mind that need to be in my mind. Some of you have probably asked, what am I missing? I know our youth ask, what am I missing when mom and dad say, no, you can't go. And all their friends are going and they can't go. And they're sitting in their room going, what am I missing? What am I missing out on? You've asked that question. I asked myself that question. Well, I asked it tonight before I headed for church. I ask it every Sunday morning. I look at the stuff I have on the countertop getting ready to come, and I go, what am I missing? Tonight it was my glasses. Got my iPad. Got my children's ministry papers. Got my purse, driver's license, all that stuff. I got my water. Got my phone. Couldn't go without that. Got my glasses. So we ask, what am I missing? When I was preparing for this message, just sitting with God and like, why do you even want me to talk on that, God? Because, see, that's a question I asked him when I was on vacation, and I realized it was the next message. I said, you know, how are you going to make a message out of that, God? I realized as I was thinking about it that that's the same question I was asking in 1987 when I met Mark Klein, and I looked at him and I said, you know something I don't know, or you're doing something I'm not doing, or you have something I don't have, and I need to know what it was. What it is, what it was. And it turned out to be that I knew about God, but I didn't know him. That I believed in him, but I didn't know him. Bishop always says, you know, we don't believe in God, we know God. Because after all, I believed in the tooth fairy at one point in time, and I believed in the Easter bunny at one point in time. There ain't anybody in here who still does. I believe, and I believed in Santa Claus at one point in time, but, you know, somebody talked me out of each one of those because I don't know them because they're not real. Well, God is like that to some people. We know about him. But we don't know him. And until we do, we're missing something. In fact, we're missing everything. It's the same question I asked after I got down here 3.5 years ago, and I watched Bishop and Pastor Marjorie, and I watched the results they get of their faith with their faith. I watched their effectiveness. I watched the miracles, the signs, the wonders. I watched the wisdom. And I asked God one day, God, why does he get such better results with his faith than I do? You know, God's willing and ready to answer that question. And he said, because he expects more of his faith, Donna. Because he makes a greater demand on his faith. So I knew I had some work to do. I've been working. Have I not been working, Bishop? I've been working. But guess what? I asked God that question. What's today? The 20th? Something third was probably the 4th or 5th of May. So let's say 20 days ago, 3 weeks ago, I asked him that question again. What am I missing? Just before I went on vacation, the Sunday before I left, Bishop started that, any luck with that chocolate? In which he told us about Clifford. Oh, yeah, Clifford. I don't know anybody who acts as bad as Clifford. I really don't. I've been with a lot of children in my lifetime. I never met anyone that acted as bad as Clifford. And still, when the uncle went into the gas station, he asked for a chocolate bar. And when he came out, he said, any luck with that chocolate? You got a chocolate bar for me? Oh, I'm not going to say that. The answer is no. We'll leave off that. Okay, no. And the point Bishop was making is that we're like that with God. We think we can live any old way we want, do anything we want, act any way we want. Yeah, act a fool. We can do what we want, and yet God should be right there when we want something, handing it to us. And he told us, you have to position yourself for God to be able to answer your every prayer. Now, you see, I'm not at the place where he is. Nobody handed me a pen. I'm not at the place where he is yet that God gives me everything I want. That's quite all right. That's quite all right. My point is, when I listened to Bishop, I realized I had some positioning to do. Can we see the first scripture? One of the scriptures he used was from Matthew chapter 6. It says, but first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. The first thing to do is chase after God. Pursue God. Be concerned about the things that concern God. God didn't say, well, yeah, you go ahead, go to your family reunion, your vacation, all those celebrations, go ahead and I'll be right here waiting when you get back. No, he didn't say that. He said, in everything you do, be concerned about my kingdom, about my approval. And another verse that he used that just opened up a world for me. Then maybe this is chocolate part 3. I don't know. Probably not. Another verse that he opened up for me was the one in John chapter 15, where it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, those who live in me, those who abide in me, those who stay in me. Bishop used the word connected. Those who stay connected to me, and I live in them, I'm connected to them, will produce a lot of fruit. But without me, you can't produce anything. And so I left on my vacation with a new goal in life, with a new determination. I am going to stay connected with God all day long. Wake up, talk to him, establish that connection, think about him all day long, thank him, just be in awe of him. Just stay connected with God all day long, Brett. All day long, Pastor Brett. All day long. He's in the back of my mind. I'm determined to live that way. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about my failure in that. But before I do, God showed me something, that connection that needs to be established between he and I. And he used Pastor Jim's steel guitar this morning. He said that guitar string is attached on both ends. There's little knobs, screws up here where the strings are attached, and there's little knobs, screws down here where the strings are attached. If that string were not attached to one of those ends, he would not be able to make a sound. That guitar would be worthless. If there's not a connection between me and God, like the connection on that guitar, God can't do anything with my life. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. And Pastor Jim was explaining that to me, and there are so, that's such an intricate instrument, just like we are. There are so many ways that Pastor Jim can change the music that comes out of that. And in fact, he was showing me the, is it called a slide? The thing that he holds in his hand and slides up and down the keys. And with that slide, he can bend the pitch. He can start with one note and slide that thing and bend the pitch. God said, if you're connected to me all the time like that, I can bend the laws of nature through you. Isn't that awesome? So like the guitar string that has to be attached at both ends, there has to be a certain level of tension. And if the tension's a little too loose, it's out of tune, and Pastor Jim has to tighten it. Or if it's too high, he has to loosen it. Same thing between us and God. That connection has to be on both ends. He's there, ready, waiting, willing, Pam. He is never the problem in the connection. I'm the problem in the connection. Or you, if you feel that you're not connected. We are the problem. Is that right, Teresa? We are the problem. It's never God. And the very idea that how intricate, and I'll use the word complicated, I suppose, until you learn it. But aren't we like that? We are such intricate human beings. But God can do so much with us if we stay connected to him, if we listen to him, if that connection is continual. So I left for my vacation, Keith, determined. This thing, I'm gonna do this. This is my new goal in life. I'm going to live this way. And so some of you know that the weather wasn't forecast to be all that great while we were going to Michigan. In fact, y'all were worried about me, Pastor Donna. They still have ice and snow up there and cold. And I'm like, I had my words out there. My words were no rain, no ice, no snow, no slush, no freezing rain. None of those things are going to happen. And the temperatures are going to be 70 or above all the while we are there. Somebody posted on Facebook, bring the sunshine with you. And I posted back and said, no, I'm sending the sunshine ahead of me. It's going to be there to greet me. So I have my words out there. We flew into Grand Rapids in the midst of their first spring thunderstorm. The thunder was so loud, I actually thought there had been an explosion in the airport. That was the last raindrop we saw all the while we were there. The temperatures were at or above 70 every day. There was one day that happened to be Saturday, a day you're going to hear more about, when I and the girl who was there from Texas were looking at each other and going, we should have packed our shorts. It was 84 degrees. Everybody was so happy and they're running around in their shorts because their clothing is within reach. But anyway, to say that God blessed us with beautiful weather. And then on Thursday morning, I'm just going to show you day by day all the things God did for me. On Thursday morning, I had the opportunity to just go shopping with my daughter. She didn't have to work that day. We had such fun. My daughter's always been my wardrobe consultant. I miss her down here. So we went shopping, and we bought some new things. And then we stopped by the church, and I had a couple hours to talk with my former pastor and his wife. And it was such a beautiful reunion. And when Pastor Yvonne came out of the office to greet me, there were six young ladies following her, all of whom I recognized had been children when I was there. At one point in time or another, they were in the children's ministry. Well, they were all following her because they had all just come out of a meeting with her about children's ministry. They were all serving in children's ministry, leading the children's ministry. They're on a weekday planning for the children's ministry. Throughout my time in the building, there was youth after youth after youth that came in, that greeted me, because they were headed off to the job they're doing in the church. And I'm like, wow, you just showed me the fruit of my labor, God. Here are all these people who were children who are now serving in the church. And my former pastor, Pastor Brooks, he looks at me and said, Donna, you were such a huge part of this church, and you still are. Your children are running this church now. I was grateful for that. Wouldn't you be grateful for that? Okay, the next day I had the opportunity to connect with the man who was my armor bearer all the while I was there. And what a great reunion we had. And then that's Friday, and we drove over to the other side of the state where all the family reunion stuff was going to take place. And we had rented a bed and breakfast with our youngest son and his wife and our grandbabies, you know, our little twin grandbabies. So we're going to spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday with them. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't you say that God was just being really, really good to me? Saturday morning, we went to our son's house. He's our oldest son now. He's the middle son, but you know our oldest son passed. So I'm going to call him our oldest son. We went to his house where all the family reunion stuff was taking place. He had arranged. See, you get, too bad I'm not showing slides of the whole thing. You get to hear my whole vacation. He had arranged for anybody who wanted to go to the minor league baseball field that's in Midland. And the kids could run the bases like they were real baseball players and talk with the mascots that were there suited up. They have this huge playground. So we spent most of the morning, actually the whole morning till noon, at that baseball diamond just enjoying our children, our grandchildren, having an amazing time with God. Right? Right? Okay, keep that in mind. Then we went to Mark's house, and he had the Mach 1 Mustang waiting for us. That was a car that my husband and that I gave my husband as an anniversary present when we were much younger than we are now. And when Mark got married, we gave that to him as a wedding present. My husband and I have not been in that car or driven that car since we gave it to him as a wedding present. He has kept it in tip-top shape, restored it, kept it in his garage. We've been to his house a lot of times, but he never pulled that car out and offered for us to drive it. That morning, he had the car out in the driveway waiting. When we got there, he said, would you guys like to take a ride in your Mach 1 Mustang? Oh, don't ask me twice. Don't ask me twice. Bishop used this saying once, this quote, drive it like you stole it. We jumped in that car. And we drive it like we stole it. My son asked our daughter who was there, do you think they have their phone with them? Because they've been gone a long time. And then he says, oh, never mind, because they won't be able to hear it anyway in the mock. Which is true. So we had this wonderful, wonderful day. And about 1:30, some other people started arriving for the party. And the whole spirit of the day changed. Now remember, I'm carrying the atmosphere. I'm setting the atmosphere. I'm in charge. Okay? That's my attitude. I'm staying connected with God. And there were a lot of things that happened through the afternoon that I was very uncomfortable with. And so I kept praying about them and trying to reestablish the atmosphere. And I'd get distracted with something over there and try to reestablish that connection. By the time I went back to the lake house that night, I was exhausted. I was discouraged. I was worn out physically, spiritually. I'm like, God, why couldn't I maintain that connection all day long? God, what am I missing? That's where the question came from. What am I missing? Why couldn't I? It was like, you know how when there's a thunderstorm and the lights start flashing and they go off for a little bit and then they come back on and they go off for a little bit and they come back on and you're wondering if the power's going to go out? That's what the afternoon was like with my connection with God. It kept breaking and I reestablish it and I break it again. And just about the time that Saturday night in the bedroom at the bed and breakfast and I'm asking God, what am I missing? What, you know, where did I miss it? I started getting texts from some of you all who were here at that miraculous baptism saying, boy, Pastor Donna, you really missed it. Telling me the amazing things that God was doing, things that I've never even heard of God doing before. And I read a whole lot about the history of the miracles of God throughout recorded history. Never heard of them. And I'm like, okay, God, did I miss that too? Did I plan my vacation at the wrong time? No, I didn't. First of all, my vacation was planned and it wasn't the baptism was planned at a different time. So that's what changed. So I knew I couldn't have missed it. But God said, Donna, get this. Imagine this. God says, Donna, everything's not about you. Well, I know you missed me, but God's like, hold up here, baby. Everything's not about you. Think about all I've done for you. Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. Now, you had one little gap in here where things didn't work out, and you're going, oh, I missed it. So he set me straight real fast. Bishop, God does that. He sets me straight real fast. He don't let me wallow in self-pity very long. I was feeling sorry for myself because I missed the miraculous thing that God is doing. So he said, it's not all about you. This vacation is for you. The baptism is for others. So I just kind of put you all out of my mind and I went back to my question, God, what am I missing? His answer was more heartbreaking than, it's not all about you, Donna. His answer was, my compassion. All day long, all afternoon, you were praying out of your discomfort, the things that were going on that you were uncomfortable with, and you were praying out of that heart. You were not praying out of any reality about their eternal discomfort. Eugenia, show us the next picture. This is my family. This is not everybody that was there, but this is our family, all the descendants of Larry's mother and father. I realized when God was correcting me there, telling me you were praying out of your discomfort, not out of any concern even or discomfort over their eternal destiny, I realized that if Jesus had come back at that moment, or if he came back right now, most of this people would not stand with us in heaven. That's pretty sobering. That was pretty heartbreaking. God used that moment and that picture to change how I view my family, how I view my responsibility toward them. It's totally changed my prayer life. Totally changed it. I can't get up now on any day without praying for those people. And all those people you see in that picture are either Thelma's children, my husband is her son, or her grandchildren, or her great-grandchildren, or spouses of the same. God said to me, look at that picture again, Donna. My daughter had sent me this picture, by the way, right when you all were texting me, oh, you really missed it, Pastor Donna. And she texted me this picture. And so I looked at the picture again and said, what do you see? I said, well, Larry and I are, We stand out. We're standing up. Everybody else is sitting down. He said, that's right. Because that is a picture of the spiritual authority that you carry in this family. And I remembered then the night that Bishop prophesied to me that as we were taking care of Larry's mom and dad, that the spiritual authority in this family had passed from her to me. And when Bishop prophesied that to me and I thought about it, I thought only of the Lake Placid family. Bishop, I'm connecting dots. I'm a little slower, a little slower than some of your pupils, but I'm connecting dots. I realized this is the whole family, and I am the spiritual authority over that family. The spirit of that family changed when God transferred that authority to me. So God said, tomorrow when you go in, take your authority. Go in there and drive it like you stole it. And so, show us that. So we did. I did. This is us driving the mock. Yeah, God. I love it. Okay, so drive it like you stole it to me means jump in there, put your hands on the wheel, put the pedal to the metal, and don't look back. Just keep going. So those were my instructions for Sunday at the second day of the family reunion. First of all, we met in a Lutheran church. It was confirmation service for our oldest granddaughter. And even in the midst of a very religious service that where there's no reality of Jesus, no life, still, there I was this time praying for those people. Because I was there, and God made himself real to me in a setting just like that. He pulled me out of it. So I'm praying for them. And even though there was what I would say no life there, I felt like I was surrounded by this wonderful bubble of God's presence. And we left there, and we went to the house for the celebration, and I said to Patty, she's Mark's wife, her daughter-in-law, I said, Patty, you go ahead, sit down, and enjoy the celebration, enjoy the family. I'm going to take care of everything. I drove it like I stole it. I did. I went in, I organized all the activities, organized everything, directed all the activities, started preparing the meal, setting the meal up, just letting her enjoy everything. She was so happy. She was tired from all the stuff she had done the day before. So now I'm in charge, okay? I'm driving it. Got the meal all ready and set it on the table, and I went to the entrance to the room where everyone was sitting, the living room. And I said, we're ready to eat, and before we do, I'm going to pray over us. And as I'm saying it, one young man, about 30, he is already rushing right by me to the table. And I just reached my arm out, you know how you do that, and hooked my arm in his arm and looked up at him, kind of smiling, and said, yeah, I'm going to pray over us first. And he goes, well, you better be quick about it. Wow. Yeah, well, but believe me, the spirit in that house had changed. And so I prayed over us, and I prayed a real prayer. Not one of those, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, let's just trust the blessed name. Amen. Not one of those prayers, not one of those religious, everybody knows them and can say them by rote and they don't mean a thing prayers. I prayed a real prayer over them. And later in the day, there's one young lady in that picture who was, she was in a lot of obvious pain. And so I walked over to her. Now she's, if I use the word reclusive, I don't think it's too strong. She doesn't like to be around people. She doesn't want to talk to you. She doesn't want you to touch her. If people asked her a question, now she's in her 20s. If you asked her a question, her mother answered. Her mother was always very close by to her. So I walked over to her and I said, Victoria, you look like you're in pain. And her mother said, yes, she is in pain. She's suffering from TMJ. I looked at Victoria and I said, Victoria, can I pray for you? And that was the first time she made eye contact with me. She looked at me and she nodded her head. I said, well, I pray for you. Can I put my hand on you? She nodded her head, yes, and I prayed for her. And that was the end of her pain. For the rest of the day, she was in no pain. Not only was she not in pain, she was up circulating with the family. She's in that picture. The rest of the time, before that, she was out in the woods walking by herself. Nobody knew where she was. Just out. So God just turned all of that around. Why am I telling you all of that? Show us the next slide, please. Pastor. Oh, you want to play that again? That's okay. I can get with that. Okay. Part of Bishop's message, chocolate one and two, was if you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want and it'll be yours. See, that's where I want to live. That's where Bishop lives. That's where I want to live. I'm living closer to it than I was when I came down here 3.5 years ago, but I want to live as close to it as it is humanly possible to live. If you live in me, if you stay connected like those guitar strings, and I can play your strings, I can tell you what I want to do, and you'll do it. If you position yourself with what concerns me, you can ask for anything. It'll be yours. I'm coming, Bishop. You look out. I'm coming. Okay, so the next slide, please. Here was my problem that day. When you pray for things, you don't get them because you want them for the wrong reason. Is that not true? My motives were wrong. I wanted it so that I would be more comfortable, not so that they would see Jesus, not so that Bishop said one time, let me make sure I get it right. Victory is winning people to Christ. Nothing else is victory. My motives were wrong. I wasn't praying for them so that God would change their eternal destiny. So anyway, when you pray for things, make sure your motives are right. In this chapter of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's what it says, right? Chapter 6. Paul is having the same conversation with Timothy that Jesus was having with the crowd in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, when he was talking to them, and he was preaching. He was basically, if I could summarize it in a sentence, telling them how to live a life that pleases God. So you can't serve two masters. You can only serve God. It doesn't matter what the other master is. Excuse me. Whether it's money, whether it's a beautiful car like that Mac 1, whether it's a home, whether it's approval of other people, whether it's power, position, influence, a great reputation, whatever you're trying to serve besides Jesus, it's going to cause a separation, a break of that connection. That guitar string is not going to be tight. You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God in anything else. It won't work. So Paul is having this conversation with Timothy. Now I'm going to ask you, if Paul felt that Timothy needed to have that conversation, do you not think that we do? We may look at ourselves and say, I know all that already, but no, I'm finding out I don't. I suspect that most of us don't. A godly life, a life that's concerned with the things that God's concerned with, a life of seeking his kingdom first, brings huge profits to people who are content with what they have. We didn't bring anything into the world, and we can't take anything out of it. As long as we have food and clothes, we should be satisfied. Now, can I give you the litmus test? Put that back. Go back. I don't want that yet. Get rid of that. Thank you. Can I give you the litmus test for whether or not you are content? For whether or not you are satisfied. You know what a litmus test is, right? Grade school science. You use the little strip of litmus paper, and if it turns red, it's one thing, or pink, and if it turns blue, it's the other. You put it in and you test it to see if it's acid or alkaline. Am I right? It's been way too long. Okay, the litmus test for whether or not you are content or satisfied is, are you thankful? If you are thankful, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances, if you can get up every morning and say, thank you, God. If you are living a life of thankfulness, regardless of how much or how little you have, then you are content. Did you know that people who are abundantly wealthy are not always content either? That has nothing to do with being content. Has nothing to do with being satisfied. Contentment, satisfied, is a reflection of our relationship with God. And if we can wake up every day thankful and go to bed thankful and stay connected with him all day long, thanking him and thinking about him, then you're content. Doesn't mean we don't want more. doesn't mean we don't have goals. It doesn't mean we don't have desires. It means we're satisfied. We're content. We can be thankful. Now, Pastor Eugenia, next slide, please. Bishop, have you ever felt like that? I always told my people you can't take it with you. Harry must not have been listening. I just threw that in there because it's fun. You ever felt like we weren't listening, Bishop? Oh, no, no, you've never felt that way. I'm probably the greatest one you think ain't listening all the time. Pastor Donna, I just wish she would listen to what I say. Her life would be so much easier if she'd just listen to what I say. Why don't you take what I say and go home and let God change it now? All right, next slide, please. I have enough of that foolishness. This is Paul going on with the conversation with Timothy. He's just told them that those who are content, who lead a godly life, it brings much profit. But those who chase riches are constantly falling into temptation and snares. Those who chase riches. Now, replace the word riches with any other thing that you might be chasing after. Those who chase after a great reputation. Those who chase after approval of others. Those who chase after a new house, a new car. Those who chase after keeping up with whatever it is, chasing after a new job, not waiting for God to show you a new job. Those who chase after what they want are constantly falling into temptation and snares. They are regularly caught by their own, get this, stupid and harmful desires. God's pretty plain, isn't he? They are constantly, regularly caught by their own stupid and harmful desires. Can I ask you, would you be willing to admit that you've ever had a stupid or harmful desire? Well, yeah, right. Who? What? Okay. And they're dragged down and pulled under into ruin and destruction. Never. You're absolutely right. Never, never, never. Timothy. Now, take Timothy out of there and put your name in it. Donna. Donna. Kieran, Michelle, any one of you, Marisol, put your name in there. Don't let this happen to you. Run away from those things. See, he's telling him the same thing that Jesus told them on the road. You can't serve God and anything else. Seek the kingdom first. Run away from these things. You are a man of God. Your quest is for justice, godliness, faithfulness, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Do those words remind you of any other scripture? Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. They are all the character of God. Your quest is for the character of God. Your quest is that when you come across your family member and you know that most of them are not going to be in heaven with you if I came back today, that you cry out for them. Your quest is to have God's character. What do you think God was crying out for that Saturday afternoon when I was crying out for my own comfort? Bishop, I can't believe how comfort-driven I still am. I came down here saying that I was so self-centered and comfort-driven and la, 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 la. And God still shows me where they still reside in little corners there and little cracks, crevices that they're hiding in. Any of you got any cracks or crevices in the floor in your house? The dirt hides in it, doesn't it? And if you want to get it out, you got to get really serious about it and get down there with a hand vacuum. I can't believe I did that. I might need it. Pastor Marjorie. Forgive me. Forgive me. Okay. Okay. You know, on Mother's Day, when we're talking about this quest for God's character, on Mother's Day, Bishop, I don't even know if you said it. I know you said it. I don't know if you know you said it. When he was praying over service, he said, "In our quest for God's character, we are relentless." And that's what we have to be. That's why I have to keep asking God, what am I missing? That question, what am I missing, is a kingdom question. That question, what am I missing, is a, I want more. Pastor Brett says, more, 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 I want more. I say, God, what am I missing? It's a kingdom-seeking question. Let's go on. We're still in this conversation with Paul and Timothy. He says to Timothy, tell those rich in this world to not be so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Can any of you attest to that, that money is here today and gone tomorrow? In fact, it's here today and gone today. It's here today and gone 5 minutes later. Tell them not to be that way. Tell them to go after God. Seek the kingdom first. Go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever imagine. Manage. Yes, all that we could manage. I have all the house I can manage right now. I don't need a bigger house. I can't manage it. Tell them to go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. If we position ourselves to seek him first, to stay connected with him. Tell them to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life, a life worth living. A life worth living is one that's lived for others. I think the greatest truth about our life as Christians is that we don't live it for ourselves. And I'm a whole lot older than most of you, and I'm still learning that. I realize that I have less years, in the natural, I have less years than many of you in which to learn to live connected with God every day, every minute, every hour. But that's my goal. And I am going to live that way. I am going to be extravagantly generous. I'm going to do good. I'm going to be rich in helping others. I am, but I am going to be a lot more that way. Because I want a life that's worth living. You said something, but I'm not good at lip reading. More. Yes, more. You got to just talk out loud for Donna. I am satisfied. I am content with what God has given me, with what I have. But I want so much more of him. I want so much more of what's available in the kingdom. I don't know. Are we done? Do we have another slide? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Everybody raise your hand. Yay, God, I'm in a trial. Come on, yay, God. Well, if you're not, you will be. Yoo-hoo, woo-hoo. Yeah. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance, if you let it finish its work, will make you mature and complete and lacking what? Nothing. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. If we allow ourselves to stay in the trial, I used to use the phrase, don't rapture yourself out of it. If we rapture ourselves out of the trial, we never let it finish its work so that we may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. If anybody is a pure example of staying in the trials and letting them mature a person and complete you and bring you to the place where you're lacking nothing, it's Bishop and Marjorie. I started hearing about all of the trials you guys have been through. It's no secret why you guys are so mature, why you lack nothing, because you've been through so many things, and it's not... And we're in the trial, and God brings us through the trial. But the real work is not the healing or the deliverance in the trial. The real work is God using it later to bring others to Jesus. The real work is how is he going to use what you've been through to help someone else? The real work is bringing other people to Christ. Like Bishop said, victory. The victory over your cancer was not the fact that you are cancer-free, though that is a victory. The victory is all the people that you can lead to Christ because of it. And that's our victory. If we will stay in those trials and let them mature us and complete us, and we will lack nothing. Last picture. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The more we ask God for more, the more we ask God, you know, what am I missing? Where am I missing it? The more we ask him, the more he's going to show us. The more he shows us, the more we grow. The more we grow, the happier we are. I don't want to go and stand in front of Jesus and look around for those people that were in that picture and have to ask God who's missing. I don't want to. I don't want to look around and say, so-and-so is missing. I know it's really easy to say what your life quest is, you know, but after listening to Chocolate, I mean, my journey is to stay that connected, to be so connected with God, just like those guitar strings. When Pastor Jim touches those strings, they make the sound he wants them to make. And he has bars under there that he moves with his knees and pedals that he moves with his feet and slides and picks. And he can touch that thing any way he wants to and get any sound he wants out of it. That's what I want to be. I want to be that instrument that God can touch any way he wants to. That he sees a sound he wants to hear and he can touch my heart in that and it'll manifest on the earth. I want to be that kind of instrument that is so responsive, so connected, so pliable, that he can do whatever he wants through my life. I was asking Pastor Jim about the guitar tonight, a couple of things about it, and he played a little chord. And I got to tell you, when he played that chord, everything in my heart went, because God was in it. But that's what I want to happen in my life. I want God to be able to play a little chord on me. And people go, God, we love you so much. All we really want is to know your heart. As Bishop says, know you so well we can finish your sentences. Know you so well that we can feel what's in your heart. We can touch what's in your heart. You can touch our heart with it. And we can manifest it on the earth. It's all we want, God. Everything else is added. Everything else is perks. Everything else is empty without this. God, unless you use us in that way, unless you bring us to that place where we can be so pliable, so obedient, so responsive, so connected to you, that you can pour your heart out on the earth through us, we will not be satisfied. We are satisfied with what we have. We will live a life of thanksgiving, of thankfulness, of praise, of awe, because you are so awesome. That's my prayer tonight, Father, for every one of us, that no matter where we are, you take us deeper, you take us closer, you draw those strings a little tighter. Tune us. Play your song on us. Play your song through us. There's nothing that satisfies like you. And you are what we want. You are what we're hungry for. Give us more, God. If you want more, just raise your hand and agree with me. Give us more, God. Just give us more. We don't even know the limit to more. There is no limit to more. Just more. Just like slide us on down that string. Slide us on down that continuum. Give us more. And Father, if there are people in this room like me tonight who know they have family members who may not stand with them in heaven, I ask that you move each one of us, first of all, to pray more for them, to show them Jesus through our lives. That when we're with you on that day, there won't be people missing. It's what Bishop says.
real victory is bringing people to you, and nothing else is. No matter how happy we are about the other things that you give us, that you do for us, nothing else is a victory but bringing people to you. Give us, Father, the honor of that victory over and over and over and over and over in our lives. In Jesus' name. Whew. Prayer warriors, you can come forward. Any of you who wish to get with God and process what you heard tonight, maybe you have family members you want the prayer warriors to agree with you on. Linda, I want you to come forward as a prayer warrior tonight. Don't tell me no, just come. Linda. Yeah, you, yeah. Well, she is. Prayer warriors, just come up here. Because there are people who want to talk to God, and they want to talk to him through you. Bishop has said over and over, I need a faith that works, or I'm not doing this thing. He has a faith that works. I want a faith that works. You want a faith that works more than it does? Come up, talk to the prayer warriors. Talk to them about the people in your life you want an agreement for their salvation. Talk to them about what more you see that you want. What are you missing? God is so generous, he will tell you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for all you've done for us tonight. We are so in awe of you. We love you so much. Come, Lord Jesus, come into our lives in a greater way than ever. And allow us to bless others. In Jesus' name.